Welcome to the first episode of the Frontend Greatness Podcast. I'm your host, AP Koponen, and today we will be talking about content management. My guest is Jake Dom. So, Jake, who are you and what do you do?
Hey, thanks for having me on. So I am a front-end web developer, for the most part front-end, from Raleigh, North Carolina. I'm 21 years old, and I work at a digital agency called Good Work, and we build mostly content-based websites with a CMS called Craft CMS. And so that's my full-time gig.
Okay, awesome. So the first question is about best practices for content management on the web. So if you're a front-end developer and you run into a situation where you find yourself dealing with content management, what would you say are the best practices?
Yeah. So the first thing is that there's multiple different ways to manage content. The one which we're kind of focusing on today is situations where you have content which is going to be managed either by internal non-technical teams or by external, like the client, who would also be maybe semi-technical, but non-developers, right? So maybe you work at a company like Disney, you know, and you have a dev team, and then, but you also have, you know, people who need to be able to input content, manage content, create new pages, create new events and things like that, who aren't developers. So they can't manage content in Markdown or something like that. And then the other kind of aspect of that is the work that I do. I work for an agency and we build sites for clients. So we will spin up a website, we'll build out your front end, and then we'll build out a back end in a CMS, a content management system. Then we hand that over to the client. So what we're talking about is the system where clients can manage content in a back end, you know, at a public URL. And then when that content is updated, it's automatically kind of updated in the front end. And kind of in what I was just talking about is, I think my first answer to this question is, which is most of the time you shouldn't be building a content management system. That's super hypocritical because right now I'm actually working on one as a side project. So I realize that's the pot calling the kettle black. But in general, on your projects, content management is just such a hard problem to solve. And I'm learning more and more about that every day. But it's really not easy to build a good system that works well from an author experience standpoint. So your content managers making their experience easy, making that feature rich, functionality full, you know, making that experience is really, really hard to do on your own. So I would say my first pro tip is pick one of kind of evaluate, and we'll talk about later how to evaluate and pick a CMS, but evaluate what's best for your team and then go with one of the existing solutions because it's really a hard problem to solve on your own.
I 100% agree because like my background is in using content management systems. Like I started it off web development by making websites on top of WordPress. Same. And when I transitioned to more like JavaScript application development, I was really surprised by how unaware like many of my peers, or you know, the senior developers who I looked like up to, and I was like, those are really smart guys. But when we started kind of going to the like area of public websites, they were like in some aspects like almost clueless on what was, you know, happening. Like if we would talk about CEO, maybe the authoring experience, and like I've seen like really good developers build like some apps that have hard-coded content pages within them,
right?
Because like at some point of the project they realized that, oh, we need a marketing page. So they decided to build it within the React application.
Right.
And then they might not even have like basic CEO support for those. And then also like as you said, like the authoring experience. So I've seen also projects where, you know, for example, Django admin has been used as a CMS. Okay, there are CMS plugins for that, but those projects didn't use them. So basically they had just an admin panel and they were like, okay, this is the CMS because we have this nice admin panel for all the configuration and content for the application. So it probably works also for the content management parts.
Right.
And I would say that like the end result is far from perfect. And maybe we could discuss a little bit like what makes a CMS a good CMS different from a basic admin panel? Like what are the features that it should have or like the things that differentiate it?
Yeah, that's a great question. And one thing I want to address that you just brought up is, you know, with the Django comparison there, let's talk about what isn't a CMS. Rails is not a CMS with Ruby. Laravel is not a CMS. Django is not a CMS. So even though these like frameworks built on top of a language to help you manage your content or really manage your database in a structured way, that gets you part of the way to a CMS, but that's not a CMS, right? So there are CMSs built on top of all of those platforms, right? So in the Laravel world, you have Statamic, which is a CMS built on top of Laravel, which gives you all of the author experience benefits on top of the amazing framework that really takes care of your database management and that type stuff. So that's a great point that like, just because you have a place to store your data and a way to store your data doesn't mean you're 80% of the way to having a content management system. There's a ton that goes into that. So for what makes a great CMS, I would put author experience at the top of that list. How easy is it for clients to create and manage the content that they want to? And there's a lot of different things that go into that. There's different types of field types. You know, you need your basic field types, plain text, rich text, image support. But then within each of those, you know, different vectors of content management, there's really, really nice things to have. And if you've ever worked in a CMS that you really like and then tried to work in one that's a little bit missing some of those functionalities, so it's really frustrating because it's hard for me to even think about what makes a CMS good, because I really like Craft a lot, the one that we use, and I've worked with some other ones that I really like. But dropping down to a like more basic CMS or a CMS that isn't as professional is kind of frustrating because you just expect some things to work. So for example, like Craft CMS has an image field, super awesome, right? You should upload images. That's a given for most content sites, is there's going to be images and assets, but they have this thing called a focal point on the image where you can set a dot on the focal point so that when you transform the image, they also have image transforms built in, so that on your front end, you're not just rendering out a 5,000, you know, pixel image, but it'll actually automatically crop it down to the right size and it'll use the focal point. So if I set the focal point here on the image, you know, on the top left, it'll actually crop that image to the top left if it has to like crop out part of the image or you know, it helps with the scaling. So there's a lot of things like that that you need to look at from an author experience perspective to make sure that it will, one, serve your, and that's a good example there where the author experience is really easy, right? You upload an image and you pick a focal point, and then that's all the authors have to think about. But for your front end users, you get all this functionality of image transforms. You get that automatically cropping to the right point. So hopefully it looks the best it possibly can on both like mobile and desktop. So that blend of author experience and developer experience and then your end user experience is to me what makes a CMS great. And there's a lot of things that go into that, right? There's the actual admin panel that your content editors are working within and the functionality that it has and the features that it has. But then to also serve your front end users well, you want to be working in an ecosystem on top of a language that makes sense to you for like your templating. So maybe you love React and you might want to go with like a headless CMS, something like a Sanity or a Contentful that will let you work with React. So that's, you know, that one doesn't as much affect your front-end templating, but you still want to pick something that pairs well with your front-end templating. And, you know, there's trade-offs with each one. Craft has a templating language called Twig that you use, and that's built on top of PHP. Maybe you're not a PHP guy. You don't like PHP. No one at your company knows PHP, you know, so that might not be the best CMS for you to go with. Maybe you guys are a Rails shop. Maybe you're a different vector of web development. So you want to pick something that makes sense for your author experience and then also makes sense for everything else that you have to do to build out a website, and pair those well to have the best experience of actually being able to create a cohesive product that works for your dev team, works for whoever your end user is of the content, and whoever your content authors are.
Yeah, I think the devil is always in the details, and when it comes to content management, there are like these very small things that you would kind of, when you are not familiar with content management, you just don't realize that you need them.
Mm-hmm.
As you said, like image focal points, like,
yeah,
you would, like, it sounds like from the perspective of a person who hasn't worked with content management, they might, you know, just not really care, like in the beginning of the project. But when they come to the point that they actually realize that they need to support like maybe 6 different sizes from the pictures, maybe right. They need to have it as a square on the mobile version, and they need it as a like a widescreen picture on the desktop, and then the pictures end up having like just the chest of the person, like these very normal things in the content management world, but not very normal things when you are developing, you know, a CRUD application where you're not really concerned 100% with, you know, just maybe the image handling. You might, you know, when it comes to doing like marketing pages, you might be able to hand crop stuff. But when you're doing content management, like all of these features need to be in the content management system.
Right.
And other kind of these small details that, you know, you'd miss, maybe I feel that CEO is one of them. Like I worked with WordPress like for around 5 years professionally, and then I had like gotten used to the fact that I can just install a plugin. It gives me all the fields. It gives me, you know, the box for the author in the admin panel where they can actually see what the snippet might look like. So they have kind of this control over like, okay, what should I write here? And then they get like direct visual feedback. Mm-hmm. And then I started working on a project with Contentful, and it has like no inbuilt CEO support. So you need to kind of know everything. And I think like that's a big difference. Like if you know everything about content management, like maybe Jake Dom does because he's building his own CMS, but if you know a lot, then you can take all of these things into consideration. But you can leverage a good CMS to kind of give you all the things that you might not even have, you know, thought about because it has these features built in. And also, I think image handling, as you said, like in general, like just the fact that you need to be able to crop pictures, you might need to be able to do some small transformations on them.
Yep.
Of course, you can always take something like Cloudinary and build your, you know, use a smart CDN to serve your images, but you end up complicating the stack a lot. And this is where like, for example, Contentful shines. It has a really good API. Right. I think we could discuss like the landscape of front-end or content management in general. So like what are the kind of the options that are available for a front-end developer who is kind of choosing that, okay, I've realized that this site is going to be public, so it needs to, and someone needs to be able to edit the content. So I'm building a marketing site. Maybe I'm building a sort of a news media or whatever it is, but it needs to be found in the search engines, and it needs to be easily editable. So so what should I go with? Should I go with WordPress because it's the number one most popular CMS in the world? It does both REST APIs, GraphQL, and traditional CMS stuff. So, yeah. You know, and it has like a million plugins. So I think WordPress right. is the, like, you have no other options, or do you?
Yeah. Also, awesome question. I think it's a very interesting landscape right now than it was 3 to 5 years ago because of just the many, many new options and new styles of options that are showing up. So you've got your traditional CMSs like WordPress, Joomla, Drupal, Expression Engine, Craft CMS even fits into that bucket. And then you've got these new headless CMSs, which are content management systems, but all they expose for you is an API. So you put your content in, and then if you want to get your content out, you can use it in an app, a website, or, you know, whatever you want to use it in by using their APIs, but it doesn't give you a templating language. It does not care whatsoever about your templates. WordPress is very different from that, and it's got a very different set of trade-offs because it knowing about your templates allows it to do different things, right? So with something like Contentful, you couldn't like install a theme, right? Or something like Sanity, you couldn't install a theme and have a website up and running in an hour, you know, because your front end needs to be custom. So even if you pulled in like a front end UI library and all of that, you're still having to like build out the blocks and decide where the content goes. Whereas with something like WordPress, it's much more tailored to pulling in a theme and then maybe making UI changes to that, maybe kind of theming that theme, but it's based around the idea of you're using templates built for its specific content structure. There's also differences even within that kind of WordPress land that knows about your templating because some of them are more flexible and some of them are less. So WordPress itself has a pretty strict content structure. If you start up a WordPress website, you'll have users, I believe, posts and pages, and you'll have images, but that's pretty much all you get. And if you want to do more than that, I think to this day, as far as I know, you still have to get in PHP and tell it like, okay, I don't just want pages. I want, you know, another type of field like events or something like that. Or you can install a plugin which will kind of register those new content types for you. Whereas something like Expression Engine or Craft is based around the idea that your content is very flexible and will change, you know, it'll be different from site to site. So we like that because we work with different companies, different sizes, different content types. Some of them are e-commerce, some of them are basic marketing sites, some of them are colleges that have lots of related content, you know, but they're all very different content structures where if you tried to kind of shoehorn all of their content into posts and pages and categories, you would have a really rough time. So each of them have very different trade-offs. So I think when picking, it makes sense to decide what type of site you're trying to build. If you're trying to build something to get content into a CMS and have a front end that looks pretty good up and running as soon as you can, something like a WordPress or a Squarespace, something with themes makes a lot of sense. If you're building production ready, high performance, custom UI sites, something like WordPress, in my opinion, very rarely makes sense because they make those trade-offs on how their content structure works so that they can give you that themeability. And when you're not using that themeability, if you bring a whole custom front end to, say, a WordPress project, you're kind of accepting those trade-offs without the benefit that they're trading for. So there's probably going to be a better tool for you.
I think like the biggest challenge with WordPress from my perspective for anything that is not like a mid-sized website is actually that, like, when you're doing smaller websites, people usually end up using some crappy ready-made theme from Theme Forest or something, and those have some issues. So it's not like, from my perspective, even like super good for if I'd like to build my own website. So the Squarespace or Wix or whatever might be better because it's like really built for that use case, or WordPress.com that has like limitations on what it supports.
Right.
And then the large scale websites, the challenge is that you really need to understand what you're doing You really need to know what plugins you can use. The company where I worked for on WordPress, I actually started the business, and they've continued it like after I left. And they're like a really, really like professional WordPress shop, but they have a really kind of narrow set of plugins that they use, and they have a lot of their own plugins. So I think that is kind of the WordPress is so popular that there's like a literally like a million people around the world trying to sell you something.
Right.
Everyone wants to be on the platform. So it's very, very hard to navigate the ecosystem. And so it becomes very hard unless you're doing something like that has a really, really good use case for it. And you understand the platform quite a bit. Right. So in that's the biggest challenge. But like to kind of go into like different aspects of CMSs. So you already said that there's this differentiation of you have a CMS that knows about the front end, so it can do stuff like have a theme. It can do a lot of other stuff. Also have a visual page builder, and you know, inject like SEO related tags without you having to do anything on the front end. It can affect things on the front end. It can have plugins that can inject JavaScript applications and stuff like that.
Right.
And then you have the headless CMSs that don't have a front end. They serve the content through an API. And then you have this aspect of in some situations you need to code. So there are CMSs that have been built from the perspective that you can do everything you need through the admin panel, and then you can just, you know, use it. And it actually, there are headless CMSs that allow you to do this. Prismic
right.
and Contentful are both like very UI driven CMSs. How about Graph? Right. Like if I need to add a new content type called recipes, can I do it in the UI?
On Craft? Yeah, so Craft is very UI-centric as well. They've got, so all of your content structure is built using the UI. So if you wanted to add a recipe section, you would go in, you would create a recipe section, it would get an entry type, and then you would assign it your pre-built field. So you might give it, you know, an ingredients field, which is like a repeater field that you can fill in your ingredients. You would give it a title. You might give it, you know, because these are recipes, you have to have a couple paragraphs of, you know, when you learned about this recipe at your grandma's cabin or whatever. So you probably put in your description and stuff like that. So that's the way that Craft is built as well. I'm very interested in what you're kind of alluding to, which is kind of the newest of new waves of CMSs that are built around the idea of defining the content structure in code. And that's actually what I'm working on right now, because I think that gives you a lot of leverage. It gives you a lot of really, really neat things that are hard to express via a UI that are a lot easier to express in code. They're a lot easier to abstract, a lot easier to share between fields, between sections, or entry types between sections. So yeah, that's a new kind of wave of CMS coming in as well. I think the most fully functional one of those that I've seen is Keystone. Westboss just redid his advanced React course using it. I've heard really good things. I poked around with it some, and the way it works is instead of having like an admin UI where you're defining your content types, that's all done in code. So you would hop into like your keystone.js file and you would say like keystone.addList. So their sections are called lists, and then add list, and you would give it a name of recipe. And then you would in an object in your code define fields on that object for that section to have. So it's kind of a new, very interesting, very, I think it's of unexplored territory that's going to be really neat to see people kind of dig into and try that out.
Yeah, I think like from the perspective of a developer, like if you're very familiar with the CMS or you come from a background of basically any framework that allows you to easily, you know, have relationships, models and stuff like that, doing stuff in code is like very like useful and very easy to approach. But then even if you're a very experienced front-end developer, you might, you know, benefit a lot from having a UI where you get to kind of understand and see what you're doing very fast. And I think this brings us to kind of another kind of dimension of CMSs, which is the license. So you, like, traditionally, I would say that the big players in the field were open source. So Joomla, Drupal, WordPress have been like the big names, and especially PHP has been very popular. But now when we've been moving to headless CMSs, like, because a lot of the content management needs have moved to sites that have been built with React, Vue, and Angular, and you have a lot of these sort of like very, very highly sophisticated sites that might blend like e-commerce with content, and you no longer can build the UI with like one system. You need to bring data from a lot of different places. So that is kind of the trend, that is kind of what the headless CMSs are writing. But from my perspective, one of the most interesting and hardest questions now is that there is really not a super good open source headless CMS on the market. Like Sanity, which is like a Norwegian startup, or you know, they're doing really well, and I love what they're doing, but they are like half open source. So they're they're advertising that the UI, the admin UI, is open source, but you cannot actually use it without the backend, which is a proprietary SaaS app. And this is kind of an interesting landscape to kind of tread on, because you might not want to be like have a vendor lock in to a cloud CMS, but then that, like, from my perspective, the best options now in terms of headless CMSs are cloud CMSs.
Yeah, so that's a good point in that traditionally, so you've got, like, I think it's the WordPress.com versus the WordPress.org model, right? So WordPress.org is open source WordPress software. You go there and it, you know, tells you how to create a server on your own that'll have a database that'll run PHP, and then you own everything that your content's running on. You're just using this open source free WordPress software to help you have that admin UI and to help you manage your content, right? And then you can still install themes, you can still be in that same WordPress ecosystem. And then you have the WordPress.com model, which is, you know, tell us what your domain is, or you can have a, you know, jake.wordpress.com domain, and we'll host it for you. We'll take care of the database for you. We'll let you buy themes from our store, but the content is somewhere you don't know, right? It's hosted on WordPress servers, and you pay them monthly or yearly to host your site and to manage all that for you, right? So Craft is kind of the same way, where they're actually building a content as a service right now called Craft Cloud, where typically you're running Craft on your own. You manage the database, and you know, you hook it up to the database and it manages your content for you. A lot of the new headless ones are definitely leaning towards content as a service, right? And I think it's more of an industry lean than just a CMS lean in general. A lot of stuff is leaning towards services. You know, you've got this service over here that manages your stuff and it calls APIs of this service. It's like everything is Zapier now, right? Everything is services talking to each other. But yeah, it's an interesting kind of wave of CMSs. And I agree that like the open source ones that you run on your own on the market are maybe not quite as well built out for the most part. Keystone is, obviously, it doesn't have the admin UI as much for building out your content structure, but Keystone is, from what I've seen, fully open source, and you do run it on your own hardware. But it's an interesting trend. The thing that I like about the new trend, and I don't love everything about it, is that for the most part, like, I don't get too worried about vendor lock-in as long as I can get my content out of that system. Because for a mid-sized to large site, you know, everyone's always like, joking about how front end developers like to rewrite their front end like every 6 months, right? Like React, you know, the new React comes out and they're like, all right, everything's got to be hooks by tomorrow or you're fired, right? Or you're messing around with Vue and you're like, oh, this annoys me. I'm going to rewrite my whole site in Svelte. Happens all the time in the front end. It probably happens too much. We're having too much fun, but it really does happen a lot. From a CMS perspective, that's not really like a viable thing to do. So once you do pick a CMS for whatever specific type of content you're trying to put in it, you should be happy with it and hoping you can stick with it for an extended period of time, because it's such a haul to move your content from one CMS to another. So it feels like a long-term decision anyway. Like I wouldn't rewrite the front end. I would rewrite the front end of my site a lot more than I would mess with my content, right? Or I would, if I was moving to a new CMS, that would probably be like a pretty big content restructuring, and I would kind of have my legacy content and my new content. So from like a vendor lock-in perspective, I don't get as worried about it. I do love the WordPress kind of model of like, hey, if you want to run this on your own, here it is. And then if you want us to run it for you, pay us, you know, the premium version. I think that's a really cool model. I think more CMSs will probably be exploring it. But I think it's just an artifact of the industry moving to more services and companies wanting to easily be able to have someone manage their content and take care of all that without having to spin up servers and figure out, you know, if it's like one of the newer ones that's built in Node, they have to figure out how to spin up Node servers and manage the processes and connect to the database and a lot of things that you, especially if you're a front-end developer, just like, hey, I want to manage some content. You know, if I said like, okay, so you spin up a Node server and then you install the CMS on it and then you hook it up to a database. All right, here's how databases work. You'd probably be like, no, I'm out. But with these new like Sanity and Contentful, this new kind of wave of managed, it's really neat for front-end developers who have really never touched back-end code before. They can come in, they can build out a CMS and they can interact with it in a way that they're familiar with APIs, right? Or with something like Gatsby, where it pulls in your content and that even kind of helps you tie stuff together in a nice way. So it's all on like the spectrum of how the front-end developer and the developer landscape has shifted to where front-end developers there's more expected of them. They're expected to be able to do CMS stuff and do front-end stuff and know accessibility, right? And on bigger teams, hopefully you can kind of have people specialize on those, but there are a lot of Swiss Army knife developers out there, and I love that they're empowered to build more and cooler stuff by kind of removing the DevOps knowledge that you previously had to have.
Yeah, I 100% agree on that. And I think like content management systems are actually quite a good way for someone who hasn't done a lot of backend work to kind of learn about data modeling,
yeah,
and stuff like that. Because you get to do this very kind of like simple, almost database-like stuff, especially
right,
if your CMS supports things like relationships, which
right,
WordPress doesn't, which is my biggest grudges against it.
Yeah.
But like my kind of deep understanding of the landscape is a bit old. I did my last big CMS project like 1.5 years ago. And then I actually did some quite extensive research on what CMS we will go with. It was a headless CMS project. And I'm a big open source guy, like maybe because I started with WordPress, maybe because I like the world being open yeah, source and I like the benefits. And I was like, I was bummed by the fact that I couldn't find an open source CMS that I could have recommended. I think Keystone JS had some very like super stupid limitation. Sorry for like, but from my perspective, it didn't either have something like, it didn't have repeater fields, like that you could take multiple fields and repeat them. So, which is right, super important for good authoring experience,
right,
like that you can do stuff inline and not bounce between views. Or then it didn't have a WYSIWYG editor. So mm-hmm. like a rich text editor where you get, you can see, you know, you can, you don't have to do markdown. So, mm-hmm. so because a lot of the new headless right. CMSs, like they decided, oh, markdown is enough. And you just roll with it. And for example, that's one of the reasons I love, for example, Sanity. They decided that they will have a rich text format mm-hmm. that is very API friendly. I don't know the name of their format, but basically it gives you, it doesn't give you HTML. The user gets to do rich text yeah. editing, but it gives you like a JSON structure that you can then loop into whatever you want. That's something that I'm really looking forward to, that there would be this kind of headless, open source headless CMS that would be championing on like good authoring experience yeah. and have like, I wouldn't mind if it, you know, if it would run in the cloud, like if the de facto way of using it would be that I would pay for someone to host it and they mm-hmm. would be the person, like the company who has built the system. But what scares the whatever out of me is that, like, for example, we ended up using Contentful mm-hmm. for a number of reasons. And when I realized that we might need to go to the enterprise tier with the project, I actually talked with their sales. And their enterprise price, like we didn't need to go there, but there were some mm-hmm. things that might, you know, end up taking us there. The cost of, you know, just the CMS was mm-hmm. tens of thousands of, you know, euros per or dollars per year, which is mm-hmm. something like I feel that a good content management system is useful, but paying five-figure numbers.
Right.
Unless it's a very special case with a lot of traffic, it starts feeling a bit, you know, not right. Or at least not something that I'd like to do to a client of mine or the company where I work that, oh, sorry, we're not locked in. We're invested 200K to developing this wonderful site. But you know what? We need to start paying five-figure numbers just to have the site up.
Yeah, for sure. And that's kind of an interesting part of the CMS world is that you've got players in that world who are using it to manage content that makes them lots of money, right? So you could, for example, if Amazon was built on a CMS or had part of their site built on a CMS, Amazon makes lots of money, right? So if they had to pay 10K a month for an amazing CMS, they would throw money at that immediately, right? And then you've got other players who are using it more for marketing websites, which indirectly bring in money, or, you know, or more content-based websites, which they obviously do bring in money and they are valuable. But if you as an agency are charging in the tens of thousands of dollars to build a custom front end and to integrate that with the CMS, and then you're also pitching an expensive monthly cost, and especially the monthly cost, companies can get behind an upfront cost for a valuable object that they get, right? For a site that they get with a CMS that they can maintain on their own, that they can host for $50, $80 a month, whatever it is. But if it's not a site that's directly producing value, like an e-commerce website or something that's generates leads that can be immediately converted, something that's expensive monthly is a very, very hard pitch to clients. Even a retainer to update, this is kind of getting into shop talk, but even a retainer to manage that website, it can be a hard pitch because, you know, if you're in business, you're trying to keep your monthly costs as low as possible so that you can pay yourself well, you can pay your employees well, and you can make an impact on the world. So it's kind of an interesting business part of the CMS world is that you have these two very different types of companies, and one of them you could go to and you could pitch, hey, it's $1,000 a month, and they'll be like, we're making $100,000 a month because we have this, right? So of course they're going to pay the 1%. And then you could have a small business that feels like they should have a website and they want to be able to manage their content, but you know, they're probably not getting most of their leads through it. Most local businesses get leads through word of mouth, or so it's more of like a community resource. It's more of a nice to have. And so if you say, hey, we're going to take $1,000 of your monthly profits for the CMS for something that doesn't directly add value, that's a much harder pitch. So it's kind of a, as you get into CMS work, you'll, I think most people experience kind of the dichotomy of different types of clients who want to manage their content in the same way, but don't have the same business structure and priorities.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think this is like one of the important aspects that you need to consider when selecting a CMS is that,
yep,
like how much money it's going to make, and right, and how much the client is willing to pay for yep, the actual project. So right, so you know, like something not perfect will work if it, you know, if it doesn't need to generate a lot of money, or if it doesn't have the potential to generate a right, lot of money, then the right, investment can be small.
Right. Or generate awesome, a lot of, or generate a lot of value, right? It might not be, their might goal might not be money. It might not, might be a nonprofit, or it might be that it brings enough value to their company that even though it probably doesn't pay itself off, it's worth doing because it's part of whatever their mission might be.
Yeah. So the last content management related question for today is that, like, if someone would like to get to know content management systems better, like, how should they get started?
Yeah, that's a very interesting question because there's like 100 different avenues you could go down. If I was a front-end web developer getting into this space right now, I would spin up one or two of the headless CMSs and build something for myself. I'm a very firm believer in building stuff as the best way to learn. So I would build my personal website or a, you know, a little internal company resource or whatever it may be with one of these headless CMSs. And then I would also mess around with one of the like traditional CMSs, maybe a WordPress. I highly recommend Craft CMS. They have a free tier for if you're just messing around and you're not going to ship like a production site that's making money. So I would mess around with those. There's a lot of resources around and a great community around, especially some of the newer kind of headless CMSs that are very community focused. And obviously like WordPress has millions and millions of users, millions and millions of sites. So there's a lot of resources out there. I would probably spend a lot of time on YouTube just looking up, you know, videos by kind of influencers and by people who are in the communities of the technologies that I chose to mess around with. And also yeah, Twitter. Twitter is awesome. Just like follow people who are kind of pillars in the community that you're looking at and see kind of how they talk about it and how they approach content management.
Yeah. I also think that using some sort of a, I would recommend some of the headless CMSs, and yep, especially some of the ones where you author the content structure in the UI. So in that sense, Craft mm-hmm, might be a good fit. Also Prismic or Contentful yep, are great fits. Sanity might be a good fit if you are kind of very like from if you're a dev like a more experienced developer, so they have, it's not as straightforward as the other options, but this yeah, this allows you to see the stuff that's kind of related. And also selecting a SaaS product will narrow the kind of the content mm-hmm, and then the things you need to learn. I would actually probably not recommend WordPress because the ecosystem is so huge. Mm-hmm. And when you, yeah, you know, when you try to Google anything on WordPress, you need to like, when normally you can write like two words to Google and you get good results.
Yeah.
Technology, duh, term.
Right.
With WordPress, you need to write something like 5 to 7 words because there's right, so much content that has been built because it was so super popular like
yeah,
a few years back. It's still the most popular one, but there was this like a huge peak of everyone wanting to a piece of the cake. So it's not a really easy ecosystem to navigate in.
For sure.
So I choose something that is like a lot more narrow, where the resources that you find are actually like probably more relevant to a front-end developer.
Yeah.
And that brings us to the last question that is not about content management, but about going from good to great as a front-end developer. So what are the resources that you would recommend to a front-end developer who would like to go from good to great?
Yeah, great question. I've mentioned two of these already. I have a very strong love-hate relationship with Twitter. It can be a big time sink. People are fighting on there sometimes. There's a lot of drama, but it's a great, great way to plug into the tech community. And I know I just have a feel for all these different CMSs, all these different technologies, because I follow people from a wide perspective in tech, and it's really opened my eyes to a lot of different things. I've just learned so much from being on there in the past couple of years, and it's opened up so many opportunities for me to talk with people that I never would have talked with, to meet people I never would have met, to be on podcasts with people that I don't know in real life. You know, it just opens up a lot of opportunities. So that was definitely a big part of my, you know, learning curve in my career so far. YouTube is such a good resource. There's so much good content. I would find people that you like and then follow their content, right? Find teaching styles that you like and then follow their content. And then I also love Egghead, egghead.io. Their content model is fantastic because what they do is make sure that every video is the highest quality content in the least amount of time. So whereas you might find a YouTube video on it that's 15 minutes to explain something, and they, you know, kind of beat around the bush and they talk about a lot of related stuff, which can be really fun if you like the personality, this Egghead content is very trimmed down. So if you want to know how to build a React component in a minute and a half, this is the place to go, right? Or to validate your props in a React component in 2 minutes, it's the place to go. It gives you a lot of very brief downloads with very, very packed information. So that's one of my favorite resources.
Awesome. I agree with using Twitter. I follow this guy at Jake Dom. So he's a good resource. And I also agree with, you know, I like Egghead. I think they're Dan Abramov's Redux courses there or something that is like one of the most popular ones. And it's funny, the videos are almost like too short. Like,
yeah,
sometimes you just get surprised, like, oh,
yeah, like, sometimes I rewatch them. I'm like, how is it done?
Yeah. But regarding YouTube, can you name anyone like whom you like?
So James Quick is good. He just puts out a lot of really good content. I like Ryan. I don't know how to say his last name, and I don't want to mess up, so I'm going to check it real quick. Ryan Chinky, I'm going to say that's how you say it. And he has produced a lot of security content recently, which I'm really into. And then as far as CMSs go, Sanity has a lot of really good content, and their DevRel team is really, really neat. They put out a lot of great content. So I would check out Sanity's YouTube channel, and their, I'm trying to remember the name of, I don't know how to say her name. She's Cap on Twitter, Kepe. Anyway, she's a DevRel at Sandy Entry. She produces a lot of really great content.
Awesome. Thank you, Jake, for joining me. And thanks for all our listeners who watched or listened to this podcast. And we'll see you in 2 weeks.